that you would be seated in me in the heavenly places. Oh, that you would walk in my authority. Put that devil under your feet today. Don't give him place. Don't give him your thoughts, but put him under your feet. And you Hallelujah. Well, are you ready for the word of the Lord this morning? Word of God to speak to us? Let's start out with our favorite Bible verse, 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. Hallelujah. You know, last week we passed out a leaflet that I made out, and we passed it out before at the end of our first kingdom messages, Thy Kingdom Come, and this is the second series of Thy Kingdom Come messages, and this was at the first of last year, about the middle of last year, but it's about the kingdom, and it's a summary of what we've preached on the kingdom up to this point. It goes through from Matthew 1 through Matthew 7, I'm talking about the introduction that Jesus brought about the kingdom. And so I encourage you, if you don't have one of these, pick them up. I have them at the front. They're not at the back, but I have them at the front, and you can pick those up. I can't review that because I'd preach it all over again, because it's really, really good stuff. But you need to know that when Jesus came into the earth, he preached faith. He preached, Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He preached, the kingdom of heaven is at hand or is present among you. He brought a revolution of faith. Now, we don't appreciate that a whole lot because, well, everyone believes like we do, right? No, they don't. The whole world believes in God, don't they? No, they don't. Jesus is bringing a radical, radical revolution into the earth. And we're going to talk about that. The key thing I want to lift up out of 2 Corinthians 2:14 this morning is through us, diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. But I want to ask you a question. Is God's knowledge everywhere? A lot of people don't know about God. And a lot of people who think they know about God don't really know God. All they know is what grandma said or what this preacher said or that person said. They listen to the news media. And so, you know, it's just like we just had an act of God hit the Carolina in Hurricane Florence or Tropical Storm Florence when it actually hit. And it's not an act of God. It's an act of nature. It's just, sometimes it's just what is. It's just the conditions that have been set in motion. But they call it an act of God. Well, we know God is not into destruction. We know Jesus came to save, not to judge us. And so we live in that day of his salvation and his mercy. So we can look at those simple things and realize that God's knowledge is not in every place. But I want to turn you to a scripture, Proverbs 1. And I'm going to ask you to hold this place because we're going to come back to it later on in the Word. But Proverbs chapter 1, verses 20 and 21, it says, wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open squares. She cries out in the chief concourses. At the openings of the gates in the city, she speaks her words. Now, this is curious to me because wisdom is calling. That's what the Bible tells us. It's calling. It's in the streets. It's everywhere. It's in the square. It's in the arenas of discussion. It's in your newspapers. It's on television. It's in news programs. It's on entertainment programs. It's in video games. The wisdom is crying out everywhere where people are. But here's the problem. There are many voices in the street. So how do you know which one is wisdom? How do you know which voice is God? Because there's so many voices. But 1 Corinthians 14:10 says, there are, as it may be, so many kinds of languages in the world, and none of them is without significance. None of the languages is insignificant. They're all saying something. Every time you hear something, it's saying something to you. Even if you don't pay attention to it, it's still talking to you. Buy this product. Have you? I only saw a brief ad about a year ago for chocolate Cheerios. I didn't even see the whole ad. I heard Cheerios and chocolate. That's all I needed to know. And I started watching the stores for chocolate Cheerios. You know, as I finally found some, they're pretty good. You know, I use them for a snack, and sometimes I eat them for cereal for breakfast in the morning. But, you know, it's like you don't even have to hear everything about it, but there's an effect that words you hear have on you, and they create things within us, desires and just stuff. It makes things go off. But every voice you hear has significance. It's saying something to you, but every voice you hear is not wisdom. Every voice you hear is not necessarily God. And even Christians make a wrong judgment, even charismatic, spirit-filled, word-following Christians, because they'll say, well, everything I hear is from God. No, everything you hear is not of God, but there is wisdom for those who seek it. There is discernment for those who want to have a spirit of discernment. Go with me to Matthew chapter 11. Keep your place in Proverbs 1 in your Bible, because we're going to come back there. But Matthew chapter 11, Jesus says in verse 15, 16, and 17, Jesus said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear. But to what shall I liken this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to their companions and saying, 'We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We mourned to you, and you did not lament.'" Now, is this wisdom? Is this talking about wisdom? I mean, wisdom's crying in the streets. And here Jesus is saying that the crowd is saying, we played a tune for you and you didn't dance. We played a funeral procession for you and you didn't mourn. It's like, we have to understand, you've got to have ears to hear. And hearing is more than knowing that there are sounds going on around you. But hearing is understanding what the sounds are communicating. What are they saying? Not just to you, but what are the sounds saying that you hear? Because they all have significance, okay? See, this is the problem. The world wants you to do what they ask or demand. We played a lively song for you and you didn't dance with us. You must be a wicked person. You must not be a discerning person, because it's time to dance. Hallelujah. We're all going to dance. We're all going to dance. Yeah. You know, when we do that in worship, I know some of you just go, yeah, right, make me. But in the world, you follow along. Then they say, well, you didn't dance for us, so we played a mournful tune. And you didn't mourn either. See, the world is disturbed when you don't do what they anticipate that you should do. Every ad that is on TV wants you to buy their product. Now, they know not everybody will, but they know if you don't buy that product, you'll buy another product that they make. Because if you really begin to look at it, there are conglomerates that own almost everything. Do you know how many soap companies there are in America? At the most, there's two. Palmolive, Dawn, Tide, I don't even know all the names of them because I don't do the laundry, but you know, all the different detergents are made by two companies. And yet they advertise on TV against each other, because they know you're going to buy soap. They're going to sell you soap, whether you buy this brand or that brand, they're still selling you soap. And you may like the fragrance in one, you may like the color protector in another, you know, all these things, but they're selling you soap. And no matter what brand, they're just saying, you've got lots of options, but you're going to buy from us. In other words, you do what we tell you to do. And if you start going to alternative cleaners, oh, they don't like that. Mm-mm, don't go that way. You know, if you live on a farm, you know, oh man, I won't go there. But anyway, it's just like the world wants you to play by their rules. And if you don't play by their rules, they will punish you. They will make you feel like you are evil, like you are bad. It said, we played the flute, we mourned, and you didn't follow. Now think about this. The world demands groupthink. They demand it. Whatever we tell you to do, you should do without question. You should just go ahead and automatically do it. Why? Because we're saying that you need to do it. And if you don't do it, they get angry at you. You become despicable. You become horrible, ugly people. Just mean, nasty, vicious, haters, mongrels, all because you didn't do what the world thought you ought to do and told you to do, and you didn't obey, and the world is upset with you, because every voice has significance. Now go with me to Matthew 13. Matthew 13, verse 9. Jesus again says, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Now get this. "And the disciples came and said to Jesus, 'Why do you speak to them in parables?'" He had just given a parable. He said, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given." Now, this is interesting right here because Jesus is telling us parables are given so that those who have ears to hear can understand. No voice is without significance. But those who don't hear don't get it. That's why this hit me last night. That's why some people are so upset at Donald Trump's tweets. Because they don't get it. They don't know what he's talking about. And many people that hear his tweets, they know what he's saying. He tweets sometimes just to irk the news media. I am fully convinced of it. And they go bananas. I mean, they just go off the walls. And it's like, well, if you don't like it, don't pay attention to it. You know, you have freedom of hearing. You don't have to hear it. You have the right to not hear if you don't want to hear. Many have chosen. But the thing is, every tweet he has a purpose. And there's so many people, well, he should just stop tweeting. He should just stop this. See, groupthink. He should stop it because we say he should stop it. When President Obama used tweets, he was a master at communication. When Donald Trump uses tweets, the man's just insane. No, he's communicating, but it's like a parable that Jesus is talking about. If you understand, you know what's going on. But if you don't understand the parable, then you don't understand the mystery of the tweet. So let's go on. Verse 12. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. See, if you have ears to hear, you're going to get more out of it than the people that don't have ears to hear. He says, but whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore, verse 13, therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understanding. Now, the first thing I want you to get out of this is understanding is given. It's been given to you to understand the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to those on the outside, they don't understand. Jesus had just given them the parable of the sower sowing the word of God. And put this up, Stephen, Matthew 13:15. Jesus says about the parable, he says, for the hearts, because they say, why don't we understand it? Their hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears. You know, there's some things, you know, you hear the little kid, nah, nah, puts his fingers in his ears, nah, 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 because they don't want to hear what you have to say. Well, there's adults that still do that. They've chosen to not hear because it discomforts them. There are people who have chosen not to hear the gospel of Christ because they'd rather be in their misery, because if they find out there's a way to get free, now it's no longer God's responsibility, it's their responsibility to walk out of the jail cell. But they'd rather stay in the conditions they're in because it requires effort to get out of the spot you're in. And so they just put their fingers in their ears, la 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 la, I don't hear you, I don't hear you, I don't. But the sound is still going out. Now get this. It says their eyes have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand. Because once you understand, once you begin to catch what's going on with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. He says, if you hear properly, you'll get understanding. Once you get understanding, it'll cause a change in your life. It'll cause you to turn around, and I'll heal you. I'll deliver you. I'll get you out of that spot. But you've got to make a choice to hear what God's talking about. You've got to make a decision. I'm going to understand it. And once you understand it, it's going to create an opportunity in you to make a decision. And if you make the right decision, God will heal you. He'll get you out of your situation. But listen, there's a cycle. You've got to see, you've got to hear, you've got to understand, and your hearts, and you've got to turn to the right way. Well, if I've got to turn to the right way, it implies I'm already going in the wrong direction. You know, you can't be saved until you know you're lost. Think about it. You can't be saved until you know you're lost. And there's a bit, well, I'm not lost. Well, when you die, where are you going to go? Well, I'm going to go to hell. You're lost. No, no, I know where I'm going. No, you're lost to God. You're lost. You're going to have eternal life with God and have peace and abundance forever. Walk with God, have no pain, no hurts, no, but you would rather go to hell. Well, yeah. You don't have understanding because you don't have to go to hell. You don't have to stay in the condition that you're in, is what Jesus is saying. You can change, you can turn, you can be born again, and you can spend eternity with God. Well, I don't want to be with God. Excuse me? I don't want to be in hell. Because somehow we've been convinced that hell is a great big party. I mean, heaven's a dull place. There's nothing going on there. Because, see, in hell they have fireworks. And people think this is going to be really cool. Well, I'll tell you, in heaven, they've got a light show. There's going to be rainbows. There's going to be color. You're going to see things you never imagined before. You're going to see streets of gold. Now, the gold in heaven is transparent, the right word? Is transparent. You can see through it. Now, in hell, you're going to have fireworks, but you're not going to see beyond the pain of the fire. But if you've ever been to Disney and seen a light show, oh my goodness, that's gorgeous. Holographs and all this, I mean, it's absolutely fabulous. Doesn't even begin to compare with heaven. But see, you can choose which way you're going to go, and you get to choose now. But the reason you've got to turn is because you're already on your way to hell. Listen, if you don't turn from the direction that you're going, the problems you're in right now are going to remain and continue and be there tomorrow morning when you wake up. God is saying there's a way out. See, this is the gospel. You don't have to stay stuck. But Gordon, you don't understand. I'm stuck. This is how I am. No, I understand you're stuck, but I'm saying you don't have to remain stuck. But you don't understand. I'm stuck. I know you're stuck. That's why you've got to turn. You've got to get some understanding. One, God wants to set you free. Two, He's able to do it. Yes. And He's willing to do it. He just needs your cooperation. Amen. He said, help me and choose me. In Deuteronomy 28, it says, this day I set before you life and death, therefore choose life that you may live. He gives you the answer of the test. It's multiple choice, life or death. And He gives you the answer. By the way, choose life. Now, why should I choose life? Because you'll live. In other words, life will be better. But if you don't choose life, you're automatically choosing the default position, which is death. You must be thinking hard because there's no amens on that. Must be making my point. See, understanding is given. Jesus had just given them the parable, but their eyes have closed lest they should see, hear, understand, and turn. See, this is the question. What must we see? What must we hear? What must we understand? Well, as I said, Jesus just gave us the parable of the sower sowing the word. I'm not going into that because you can preach weeks on that. But you must understand the word of God. See, God's word is sown in their hearts, and this is wisdom crying in the streets. When you hear the word of God preached, when you read the scripture, it's the voice of God, the voice of wisdom in the street calling for you. And you either have the opportunity to accept it or to reject it. If you reject it, you're going to stay in your condition. If you receive it, you'll change. It's just natural. If you receive the word of God, you'll just change. Now, years ago, there were a lot of people that were against the prosperity message. Oh, surprise, there's still a lot of people against the prosperity message. But they did a study, and they studied churches that were started in poor communities. And we're talking about ghetto, we're talking about people with no income. And they found out as the people became Christian, now this is amazing, this is a secular study. They found out as they became Christian, their income increased. In other words, they, in the natural, got wealthier. There was just a study out here just within the last two or three weeks I saw in the press. I didn't read the study because the headline told me all I needed to know about it. It says, people who believe in God, people who attend church are happier, healthier, and they live longer than other people. Well, duh. We've got life in us. The people that don't believe God, the people that don't attend church, they're walking in darkness. And death consumes them. See, but if you're serving God, if you're loving God, if you walk with God, your life just naturally gets better. Now, nobody understands this, because it doesn't really matter if you go to a certain degree. It doesn't matter if you go to a Word of Faith church, if you go to a denominational church, or you go to any other type of church out there that you want to name. But if you get involved in religion and with God, there is a supernatural effect on your natural, and your life gets better. Why is that so hard to understand? But the world doesn't get it. They write the reports and they don't get it. Why? Their ears are closed. Their eyes, they have shut. They don't understand, because if they would understand what they're talking about and what they're studying, they would turn and repent and get right with God. And guess what? Their life would get better. Yes. Have you ever noticed who's the angry people? I mean, we got a whole group of people in America are mad at everything. I mean, just full of hate. We're all going to die from air pollution. We're all going to get killed. Hurricane Florence, one newspaper came out and said Trump is compliant in it because he has reversed some global warming agreements, like the Paris Trade Agreement. Other scientists are coming out. Hurricanes are down. They're not up. Tornadoes are down, not up. Oh, here's a quick little fact for you. Pollution in the United States is way down from what it was even 10 years ago. Do you know they don't talk about auto emissions anymore? Do you know why? We put out water. H2O comes out of your exhaust pipe. We don't put pollutants in the air. Cars are almost non-pollutant. That's why now they're going after cattle, antelope, deer, goats, because they produce methane. And methane, we all know, is going to kill us all. Anyway, no, it won't. The earth has remarkable capacity, as God created it, to clean itself up. Just like he put in you a natural capacity to clean yourself up if you do the right thing. Isn't that clever how I worked all that in there? But it's true. If you will do the right thing and live the right way, your life will get better. It's not rocket science, but to some people it is. Now, let's keep on going. The Word of God is the wisdom crying in the streets. Let's go to Matthew, still in 13, verse 18. This is what Jesus continues to say about it. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received the seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now, in other words, he's excited about the Word of God, but the first test against the Word of God, oh, maybe what I heard isn't true. Maybe God really doesn't want to change my life. Maybe this is the condition of my life forever. No, the Word of God is true. You're wrong. And it's the devil whispering to you that your life can't change. Now, just think about it. If the devil would say, yeah, you're right, if you follow God, your life will get better, he loses automatically. I mean, he's dumb, but he's not stupid. You know, he knows he can't dare agree with God, because if two be in agreement, you'll get saved. You'll get delivered. And the devil never agrees with God. So he always counters the Word of God. This is, go back to the garden. The first question that the deceived man is, did God really say? It's still the same question here in the sower sowing the word. So the next verse 22, now he who receives seed among thorns is he who hears the word of God, and the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100, some 60, and some 30-fold. This is just an example of the Word of God. Now, he says at the beginning, therefore hear the parable of the sower sowing the Word of God. Now, Jesus is talking here about two kingdoms. There is one kingdom. that is sowing wisdom and the other is stealing the word that is sown. And you've got to decide which kingdom you're going to follow. Are you going to choose the wisdom of God calling in the streets? Or are you going to choose to listen to the one who is stealing the good seed? Because, like I say, even the natural man says if you go to church and you live right, you live better. Let me put it this way. If you don't do drugs, if you get rid of your anger, your hostility, your bitterness, your wounds, if you can put all the negative things in your past behind you, you'll get better. Or you can spend your life in counseling. You can spend your life going from one drug to another drug until you get an overdose and it kills you. I mean, duh. But people can't make their choice. Drugs are a good thing. Yeah, man. Because it's like when I was in college, guys who got drunk all the time said, they would wake up the next morning and say, I must have had a good night last night because I don't remember a thing. Debbie and I took a vacation a couple years ago. And we went out west, and we got to see a lot of beautiful things. We still remember it. That was a good time. If you can't remember it, it wasn't a good time. Tom McCarthy just got back from Alaska, the land of the never dying sun. I don't know, but they saw a whole bunch of stuff. That's going to be with them for a long time. They're going to remember that. Isn't it better to have a memory and remember it than have, quote, a good time because you can't remember anything? Yeah, we must have had a really good time in Alaska because I don't remember a thing, man. It's like, that's just ignorance. Yeah, but there's people think that way. And some of them are in high positions and they still think that way. Go to Matthew 13, verse 37. Jesus gives us another example of the two kingdoms. Now, Jesus is explaining here Matthew 13, 24 to 30, but this is what he says in 37. Another parable would put, or I'm sorry, 37, got the wrong verse there. And he answered and said to them, he who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom. But the tares are the sons of the wicked one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of this age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of the fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now it says the field is the world. Jesus is trying to explain two kingdoms. The seed, the field is the world, and there are sons of the kingdom and there are sons of the evil one. God sows the sons of the kingdom. This is good seed. It is a true believers. Now notice that Jesus is the one who sowed all this good seed. That means born again. Those who are born again are good seeds. Now you've also got to see that there was no kingdom of heaven among mankind until Jesus came. Because Jesus is the one sowing the good seed. There were believers in God. But all they had was the faith of Abraham. Jesus came that we might have life. So Jesus came to set up and establish the kingdom. John the Baptist preached, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He couldn't preach that beforehand because the kingdom of heaven was not at hand. He's talking about the introduction of a kingdom into the earth that has not been established before. Jesus came to establish it. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. God's kingdom is within true born-again believers. Now the tares are sown by the devil among the wheat, among the good seed. Now, we just spent a week on the farm because that's easier than explaining a whole bunch of stuff. And we passed some fields where they are doing organic farming. We didn't know this about organic farming. Now, we knew they didn't use chemicals, but they use chemicals to kill the weeds. When you go past an organic farm, and it takes 3 years to qualify as an organic farm, when you pass an organic farm, the weeds are taller than the crop. And the fields are full of weeds. I mean full of weeds. Now, they're developing some ways to get electronically they can go through and fire the tops of the weeds and kill the weeds, but if the weed isn't tall enough, it won't kill the weeds. So in organic food, you've got all this weeds growing up in it. And I said, well, doesn't that reduce the harvest? He goes, well, I would think so, because you've got other things in there sapping away the nutrition that would normally the crops would get. So not only do they sap away the strength, but they also lower the yield. So it makes the plants weaker, more susceptible to disease, more susceptible to rot, more susceptible to bugs and birds and animals and critters and everything else that come in. So that's why it's more expensive, because they're not wasting money on chemicals to give you good quality food. They're just letting the bugs and everything else, and so you got lower quality of food, basically. Now, I'm not saying nutritionally it's different. I'm just saying it's a whole different way of farming. We got rid of that because we found out we can increase more and produce more food if you take out the weeds and the bugs that devour the crop. Now, Satan is sowing bad seed among us to sap the nutrients from the soil, to discourage you. Did God really say that? Do you really think God meant what he said? Do you really think you need to go to church this Sunday? Do you really think you need to forgive? Do you really think you need to tithe? Do you really think all these questions? Because it saps your strength. Because now they've put a second thought into your head. And there are people in the church. You know, when you meet a guy on the street, he says, hey, I don't believe in God, I'm going to hell. That's okay with me. You don't pay him any attention. But when you have church people stand up and say, healing has passed away, it makes it more difficult for you to believe that God still heals today. When you've got entire ministries in the United States that say, we don't believe in the supernatural anymore, well, then you just start to discount the supernatural. You've got two kingdoms within each other. One is good seed and one is bad seed. And the bad seed is there to steal your nutrients, to make you doubt, to make you wither, to make your faith fail. They are sown to weaken our faith by wrong doctrine and by wrong teaching. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4 warns us, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, you could put lust in there, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. The devil uses wrong doctrine to steal the kingdom of God from you. But if it's a demonic person telling you, you're not going to listen to them. But if it's a fellow believer, well, maybe they're right and maybe I'm wrong. No, they're wrong and you're right. Let me say it differently. They're wrong and the Bible's right. So if you believe the Bible, you're believing the truth. If you're believing anything else that contradicts the scripture, then it's a lie and sent from the enemy, and it comes to steal, kill, and destroy your faith and to remove it from you so that you will not escape from the situation that you're in. It'll keep you secured in your place of misery because you will not change because you're halting between two opinions. Jesus warns us against trying to remove the tares ourselves. You can't just go out and chase the people out. You can't go out and say, well, they're not a true Christian. They're not. You can't do that because everybody will get upset at you for persecuting and for reviling a fellow believer. So you don't dare do that. But the Bible says God's angels will remove the tares and they will be burned in the fire. Now it says two things, those who offend and those who practice lawlessness. Those who offend, who create scandals. The Greek word is scandalon, where we get scandals from, and that's the word offend. Those who offend, the angels are going to remove those who offend. Jesus said, if you offend one of the least of these little ones, it is better for you to have a millstone tied about you and be thrown into the river. Because if you offend the little ones, you'll burn in hell forever. Jesus talked more about hell than anybody in the Bible. Well, how do you offend a little one that didn't pass, or that has passed away? I won't go through it, but when I got saved, I was so excited. When I knew the Lord was with me and I had talked with him, I was so excited. I went home and told my favorite deacon, I'm born again, and I'm so excited about it. He said, well, don't worry, it'll pass. I'm thinking, I don't want it to pass. I'm excited about God. I don't want to get non-excited about God. Don't worry, it'll pass. It's like, well, obviously he got excited one time. But cares, the deceitfulness of riches, desires for other things came and choked the word out, so he lost his excitement. There's many people today, they're born again, but they've lost their excitement. They've lost their zeal for the things of God. They read the scriptures, and instead of saying, wow, that's for me, say, well, I wish. No, it's for you. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And when the devil gets your joy, he's got your strength. You don't have anything to resist him with. So you've got to work on your joy. You got to work on, you know, the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Well, you need to work on joy. Amen? Yes. Amen. Hallelujah. You need to work on righteousness. Amen? Hallelujah. You got to work on these things. We say, but I can't. Yes, you can. You got to choose which kingdom you're in. You got to choose which kingdom you're going to follow. The other is those who practice lawlessness. Now, literally, it's unrighteousness. Those who practice unrighteousness. Now, this is my description of unrighteousness. Those who reject God's righteousness in Christ and seek their own righteousness in their own eyes. They seek to justify themselves. That's practicing lawlessness. Matthew 13:42. Jesus said, the angels will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. This is evidence of life after death. The very fact that Jesus said that is evidence of life after death. There are two kingdoms and there are two outcomes. Matthew 13:43 says, then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Let them hear. You can either be with the scandalous, you can either practice lawlessness, or you can hear the word of God. And if you hear the word of God, oh, you're going to shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Hallelujah. That's for us. Now, go back to Proverbs. I can't preach on this. I'm just going to bring it to you. Those that have ears to hear, hear. Proverbs chapter 1, starting in verse 20. Wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open squares. She cries out in the chief concourses. At the opening of the gates in the city, she speaks her words. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? Now, what's a simple one? A simple one who only acknowledges carnal, natural worlds. And they are led by their carnal, natural desires. That is the simple one. Because wisdom's crying out. But they've rejected the wisdom, and they're simple ones, which simple here, I believe, just simply means you're just going by the natural. If it feels good, do it. If it feels bad, don't do it. I'll ask you this question. Please don't raise your hand. How many of you know you need to go on a diet? And you don't because it hurts the flesh. And the flesh goes, no. But you go, yeah. And your spirit gets shouted down by the flesh because the flesh is in dominance. So that's why I said don't raise your hand. Because if you talk to people, 95% of Americans probably believe they ought to lose weight. I don't think there's that many that need to lose weight, but I'm overweight. Yeah, if I was 20 years old, I'm overweight for being 20. I'm 67. It's like, as you get older, your metabolism slows down. It's harder to lose. I understand all that stuff. But still, there's this witness on the inside. I need to lose weight. I need to lose weight. But as long as you're simple, you're going to go by what the flesh says. Potato chips! Cheese! Hallelujah! All the good pasta we're going to have at the pastor's appreciation dinner. I'm getting larger. Hallelujah in the Lord. Glory be to God. Anyway, it goes on, for scorners delight in their scorning and fools hate knowledge. And God says, turn up my rebuke. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. I'll give you revelation. Because I have called and you have refused, I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded, because you disdained all my counsel and would have none of my rebuke. Now listen, God says in verse 26, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your terror comes, because you openly chose to not obey God. God says, I'll let it happen, I'll laugh. When you cry out to me, he said, I won't come. When verse 27, when your terror comes like a storm and your destruction comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Many people want to get out of their problem. They don't want to come to God. You hear people talking today, they need a Jesus moment. I'm telling you today, there's a lot of believers in churches need a Jesus moment. You need to get to the point where you come to the end of your own rope, to where the only way you can look is up. And God's laughing at you because you've chosen your own way and you've rejected the counsel and the wisdom of God. You can come to God now. You can yield to God right now. You don't have to wait till you get to the bottom of the hole before you look up. You can decide to look to God now and change and get out of the rut now before it gets deeper. Hallelujah. Good preaching. Thank you, brother. Therefore, verse 30, they would have none of my counsel and despise my every rebuke. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancies, for the turning away of the simple will slay them. And that's kind of worded poorly. It literally means because they have turned away, their simplicity will slay them. They'll die because they've turned away, because they've rejected me. And the complacency of fools will destroy them. But, oh, I like this, 33. But whoever listens to me, say it with me, will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil. Hallelujah. See, if we hear, understand, it'll cause us to turn, to do the right thing, to come to God, to have our Jesus moment. And when that happens, fear will be far from you. Peace, righteousness, joy in the Holy Ghost will become a normal pattern of your life. Why? Because you've heard the word of the Lord. You've heard the things of God. Now, again, I've said it in so many different ways, but if you don't have peace, righteousness, and joy in your life, God's righteousness, not your own, if you don't have those in your life, you need a Jesus moment. You need to come to Him. You need to surrender your all to Him. You need to give your life to Christ. Not just because I'm emotional, not just because I want to get out of my spot I'm in, but because it is the right thing to do. It'll change the course of your life. But now if you want to stay where you're going, if you want to stay on that path, if you don't want change in your life, keep right on going. You don't have to change. I'm not being hard on you. I'm just telling you, the map says this is where that road is taking you to. And if that's not where you want to go, you need to get off that road and get onto a different road. You need a Jesus moment. Let's stand. Father, you sent your Son, Jesus, to get us out of the kingdom of darkness, to bring us into the kingdom of your beloved Son. Lord, we're here because we are hungry for that kingdom. We're here because we want out of the bad situations in our life. We're here because we celebrate that you have already redeemed us from those situations. But Father, for those that are struggling, for those that are still trapped, Lord, I pray that we would come to Jesus. If that's you this morning, and you say, I want to give my whole life to Jesus, I'm ready to take the turn. I'm ready to give myself to the one Christ who can save and deliver me and change my life's directions. I want you to just lift up your hand. Just wave at me a little bit. I want to get out of where I am. I want to go to that higher road. I see that. I want change in my life, and I want it to be a positive, enduring, lasting change in my life. I'm tired of feeling like I'm going downhill. I'm ready to start the climb upwards to the kingdom of God. Praise you, God. Father, we come to you. Lord, we offer you our hearts, our lives, God, all that we have, we yield to you and give to you, Father. So, Father, we ask you now, because we believe on you, Lord, come into our life. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear, that we would not just be stuck in the parable, but, God, we would have the understanding, that we would see the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. Lord, that we would start choosing the kingdom of light every time, that we would walk right before you, Father, that our righteousness would be that righteousness of Jesus Christ in us, and not our own efforts, not our own struggles, but, God, that we would receive your grace. Father, I pray that righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost would invade our lives as you reveal to us and give us understanding about the two kingdoms, about living right for you, Father. God, again, we give you our hearts, we give you our lives. Come in and live large within us, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you.